Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is William Beaman, a professor and chair of the Department of Anthropology at the University of Minnesota and president of the Middle East section of the American Anthropological Association. Best known as a Middle East specialist for more than 30 years, he served as a consultant to the United States State Department, the Department of Defense, the United Nations, and the United States Congress, and is the author of 14 books, including Language, Status, and Power in Iran, The Great Satan versus the Mad Mullahs, How the United States and Iran Demonize Each Other, and his latest book is Iranian Performance Traditions. Welcome to Background Briefing, William Beaman.
Thank you so much.
And with John Bolton about to be the National Security Advisor, the closest and perhaps the most important person outside of the President of the United States on this planet, since he's at the apex of all the information that comes in and adjudicates between state and defense and all of the other government departments, this is an enormously powerful position for somebody that is widely seen as a hawk, if not a warmonger. He's already made it clear, as the president has, that he doesn't want to renew the Iran deal. Let's start with that. What do you think the consequences are? Because as far as I can tell, the P5 plus one agreement was not just with the United States, it was with all of the permanent members of the UN Security Council, along with Germany. So this seems to be more like something that's going to disrupt our relationships with our allies as opposed to punish Iran.
Well, there's no question that President Trump and John Bolton are utterly ignoring the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the so-called Iran deal. I doubt that they read it because it is a very comprehensive, multinational plan with regard to Iran. And it's not possible, really, for one nation to withdraw from the agreement. What the United States can do is to refuse to uphold the agreement and by carrying out actions that are that the United States has already guaranteed to carry out. So what it would mean is that the United States is not tearing up the treaty or destroying the treaty. What the United States is doing is reneging on the treaty. So it's failing to undertake its duties under the treaty. And this signals to Europe and also to the world that the United States can't be trusted. That when we have an agreement, that we're not willing to stand by it. So I think that this is on purely diplomatic grounds. This is a disastrous move. But President Trump doesn't seem to really understand this. He somehow believes that this agreement is a transactional agreement between Iran and the United States solely. This is a misperception on his part. And I think that it is yet another indication of the utter incompetence of the Trump administration with regard to foreign relations.
Yeah, and I imagine it's going to impact the possibility of a summit with the North Korean, because I don't know why Kim Jong-un would bother to meet with somebody that breaks treaties. But we'll see what happens there.
Well, let me point out something else, and that is that the United States and Iran are also signatories to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty of 1970. There are about 200 nations in the world, with the exception of Israel, Pakistan, India, North Korea, and also South Sudan, are signatories to this agreement. And this agreement prohibits any nation from actually pursuing atomic or nuclear weapons, except for those who already had them at the time of the treaty. And that's the United States, Great Britain, France, China, and Russia. So we already have a treaty in existence that would prohibit Iran from ever having a nuclear weapon, unless they withdrew from that treaty, and they have no intention of doing it. So the United States also is prohibited from promulgating any kind of nuclear weapons technology to any other country. Also, the United States is required to reduce its nuclear arsenal, as are all members of the who are signatories to the treaty. So President Trump, who wants to increase the United States' nuclear arsenal, is also violating that treaty. So we're in a situation where actually nothing that we have with regard to nuclear technology is being observed by the Trump administration. They're ignoring everything.
So, William Beaman, a lot of people think that we're on a path to war with having a warmonger essentially as the National Security Advisor and a president who is quite belligerent and very insecure. He obviously doesn't know what he's doing, and he's subject to the advice of people, particularly those that gave him money. Among his biggest donors is Sheldon Adelson, who apparently brokered the deal to get Bolton on board. Adelson, of course, is close to Netanyahu, and it would seem that that's a part of the agenda. And Netanyahu also has been quite zealous in terms of taking on Iran, as has the new Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, MBS. But the bottom line is here that both the Saudis and the Israelis want the Americans to go to war on their behest. So American boys and girls
die. Exactly. The Saudis and the Israelis have declared, or it's really not the Israelis per se, it's actually Benjamin Netanyahu. And it's not the Saudis per se, it's actually Mohammed bin Salman, MBS. So I just came back from Saudi Arabia. I was there for a month, well, twice actually, in December and January. I had a chance to talk to many, many Saudis. I speak Arabic. And their perception of the situation was puzzlement. They couldn't understand why Mohammed bin Salman was attacking Iran. They just couldn't figure it out. They know about the war in Yemen. They know that there are some that there are also some Shia Muslims in Saudi Arabia who are restive. But Saudis have vacationed in Iran for quite some time, especially in the city of Shiraz. There are many people in the Gulf region and on the Arabian Peninsula who are of Iranian extraction. And so their puzzlement as to why their government was pursuing this course was very, very evident to me. With regard to Israel, the last four directors of Mossad, the Israeli Secret Service, so to speak, have publicly declared that Iran is not an existential danger to Israel. So we have two leaders, Mohammed bin Salman and Benjamin Netanyahu, who are pursuing a war strategy with regard to Iran, and their own countries largely don't agree with them, and they want the United States to do the work. They want the United States to actually carry out the military action. So, quite aside from the virtue of attacking Iran or whether Iran deserves it or not, the United States is really behaving in an extremely foolish way. We're falling into a situation where we have two powers that are far inferior to the United States in terms of their military abilities and capabilities. Who are essentially directing the United States to do something on their behalf that we have really no strategic reason to do. Iran has never hurt the United States in any way. There were no Iranians involved in the 9/11 attacks. There have been no Iranian terrorists who have been active against the United States. There's just simply nothing. Not only that, Iran never had, as far as we know, it never had, doesn't have today, and will not have any nuclear weapons program. There's no evidence to support that conclusion. But it still is promulgated by Netanyahu, by MBS, and also by the hawks in the Trump administration.
And again, I'm speaking with William Beaman, a professor, chair of the Department of Anthropology at the University of Minnesota and president of the Middle East section of the American Anthropological Association. He's been a consultant to the United States State Department, the Department of Defense, the United Nations, and the United States Congress, and is the author of The Great Satan Versus the Mad Mullahs, How the United States and Iran Demonize Each Other, and his latest book is Iranian Performance Traditions. But when you say that Iranians have never done anything against the United States, I mean, what about Mughniyeh? What about blowing up the embassies in Beirut and the U.S. Marines? He was operated by IRGC and Quds, was he not?
Absolutely. There's absolutely no proof that that actually happened.
What?
Predates the establishment of the Quds in Iran. We can't get our history our history mixed up here. The Hezbollah, which is now the major, really major political party in Lebanon, was founded in 1980, and admittedly, it was founded with the help of Iran, who saw that as a Hezbollah as a defense force for the disadvantaged Shia population of Lebanon, who were not being defended by their own government. So that anything previous to 1980 is not doesn't have anything to do with Iran or the Quds Force or anything. So the other claims that that Iran was somehow involved in the bombing of things in Kenya or Tanzania or Argentina, there's absolutely no proof that Iran had any involvement in any of those things. So these are charges that have been laid out by people who really do want to be hostile to Iran, and the their hostility really dates from the embassy occupation during the Iranian Revolution in 1979. We have people who are still extremely angry about that, and they don't feel that Iran ever paid an adequate price for the embassy occupation, and that's the root really of all of the hostility on the part of Americans toward Iran.
Well, I don't know who did those bombings that you mentioned. There's a significant amount of attacks around the world. But what about Friday prayers? I mean, your book is The Great Satan versus the Mad Mullahs. I mean, U.S. has been the Great Satan. As far as I can tell, the government of Iran is not particularly popular with its own citizens. And I'm not talking about the actual government. I'm talking about the real power, which is the supreme leader, the IRGC, etc. The young and the educated seem to be quite alienated. I mean, my sense is that the most catastrophic thing of all is that we have crazy people in our government about to go to war against a government that has spent, at least a power structure that spent all of its time talking about this, and it would do nothing but destroy any possibilities of Iran entering the world community and ending its isolation, but rather play right into the hands of the hardliners in Iran.
Well, it's certainly true that the government of Iran has used the United States as a foil. And that was actually the crux of my book. When we talk about the Great Satan versus the Mad Mullahs, we have Iranians, especially Iranian leadership, calling the United States the Great Satan and enumerating the many, many crimes of the United States, which, by the way, are actual crimes against Iran. It's not that the United States is totally innocent and never did anything to harm Iranians. There's a litany, a long, long, long list of hostilities that were directed toward Iran on the part of the United States. And I think that if the embassy occupation is the most important one for Americans, the overthrow of the Iranian government in 1952 to reinstall the Shah of Iran by the American CIA and British M6 is the point in Iranian history where Iranians began to decide that the United States was going to be totally hostile toward Iran. After the hostage crisis, by the way, the United States signed the Algiers Accords with Iran to settle the matter of the hostages. The Algiers Accords guarantee that the United States will never interfere in Iranian internal affairs. And the United States right now, John Bolton and during the Bush administration, people calling for regime change in Iran, openly calling for that. That was a stated policy during the Bush administration. And it will be a stated policy again when John Bolton is in office. That is clearly in violation of the Algiers Accords. The United States should not be and promised not to interfere in Iran's internal affairs. John Bolton, six, seven months ago, met with a terrorist organization, the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, in Europe. The Mujahideen have been fighting against the Iranian revolutionary government since the time of the revolution. They are communists. They are so-called Islamic communists. They are hated by the Iranian population. But they have the fantasy that they are going to overthrow the government of Iran and install themselves as leaders of the country. We've had many American right-wing politicians who have embraced the Mujahideen al-Khalq. Sam Brownback, when he was in when he was a senator in Washington, actually gave them a spot in his office in Washington. John Bolton has told them that the United States is going to support their cause. He's going to support the overthrow of the government of Iran on behalf of the Mujahideen al-Khalq. Now, this is something that the U.S. citizens should be extremely unhappy about, and realize that there's a tremendous danger here. This is John Bolton supporting open terrorist revolutionaries in order to try to get the Iranian government overthrown in violation of every arrangement, every treaty, every agreement we've ever had with Iran.
And, of course, Bolton's been taking money from the MEC for a long time. But let's just, in the last minute, I wanted to get your appraisal of what would happen if the United States went to war with Iran. They've obviously got the assets because this regime in the White House has ties to this Betsy DeVos's brother who's in the Emirates, the mercenary army founder, Eric Prince. There's also this other sleazy guy that the New York Times has been...
George Nader,
the child abuser and child pornographer, along with his buddy who's being exposed who's got a military contractor. These are the mischief makers. They have the means to start to spark a conflict, maybe with the IRGC speedboats and close down the Straits of Hormuz, do whatever. It makes no sense, of course, to cut off the oil flow out of the Gulf. Obviously, the Russians would do very well out of a rise in the price of oil. I'm sure Putin would not be that distressed by his ally being attacked if it meant that he could have a huge windfall. But at the end of the day, I'd see nothing but catastrophe all around. And Iran is not, that's not like Iraq. This is a serious country, very patriotic people. And they will fight the U.S.
There's no question that John Bolton, I'll tell you already that the specter of John Bolton coming into this position, which, by the way, is not a position that needs confirmation by the Senate. He just is appointed and he takes office immediately. A lot of Americans think that the Senate would have confirmation hearings for John Bolton. They will not. What will happen is he has to pass a security check, and I'm wondering about whether he'd be able to do that. But he'll immediately take office, and I think that putting him in that position rather than, let's say, Secretary of Defense or something like that was a way to bypass Congress, who already rejected John Bolton for U.N. ambassador during the Bush administration. There are serious concerns about this man. Already last week, we already have the hardliners in Iran touting the appointment of John Bolton as yet another example of the United States planning to direct hostilities toward Iran, and warning the Iranian population that these overtures to the West by President Rouhani have really, this is what we've come to as a result of that the Iranians have gone soft, that they're not going to be able to defend themselves, and so therefore we have to essentially support the hardliners and stop all of this social engineering and the soft stuff that Rouhani is projecting. So essentially, for Bolton to come on, it worsens the situation with regard to Iran and the United States. It almost guarantees that there will be no rapprochement.
Well, but I wanted to get your analysis very quickly of what a war would involve, because that seems to be where we're heading.
Sure. First of all, Iran has 10 times the troop strength of, for instance, Saudi Arabia. Even though Saudi Arabia spends 10 times as much on military equipment as Iran. But they don't have people to actually fight such a war. Iran is a huge country. It is the size of the entire western part of the United States. It has 74 million people, and most of them are young people. So there are literally millions of potential troops that could be marshaled in order to fight a war. With anybody, with the United States or with anybody. Right. We were mired in Iraq for years, and it cost us billions of dollars. If we were to start a war with Iran, it would probably last decades. And the United States would likely lose. Now it's possible the Israelis might come in, but the Saudis might come in. But Iran has enormous resources. During this period of time, Iran has become self-sufficient in just about everything that you could imagine, except for very highly specialized technological equipment. Iran manufactures its own steel. It manufactures its own cars. It manufactures its own weapons. There's no need for anybody to supply anything from outside of the country. That said, they're still going to get supplies from Russia. They're going to be supplied by China. So the United States is really the idea of engaging in a war with Iran is a ridiculous proposition. If the U.S. thought that they were going to go in and out of Iraq in 6 months, which is what Dick Cheney thought, they're sadly mistaken if they think that they could drop a few bombs on Iran and have the government fold, which is something in the Bush administration they thought they were going to do, or that they could bring Iran to its knees in a very, very short period of time. This is extremely foolish. And that's not to say that we haven't seen foolish things already from the Trump administration, but this would be a cataclysmic disaster, and the United States should not go there.
I thank you for joining us, William Beaman.
You're welcome.
And again, I've been speaking with William Beaman. He's a professor and chair of the Department of Anthropology at the University of Minnesota and the president of the Middle East section of the American Anthropological Association. He's been a consultant to the United States State Department, the Department of Defense, the United Nations, and the United States Congress. And he's the author of The Great Satan Versus the Mad Mullahs, How the United States and Iran Demonize Each Other. And his latest book is Iranian Performance Traditions. We're going to take a brief station break and back looking into whether, following last night's 60 Minutes interview with Stormy Daniels, the current First Lady Melania Trump will continue the tradition of presidential spouses standing by their man.